Hello and welcome to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
Couldn't find that button there, could you, Scott?
I was kind of like you last week.
Yeah, I tell you what. So welcome, folks, to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. Pretty simple. You can find us during the week at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to our six retail stores. Hard to keep up with, right?
It is.
All over the place. One under construction. I can go ahead and say that, I do believe.
You can.
Soon to be seven retail stores. I have a second store going in the Charleston market. I'd say really more to Somerville market off of Dorchester Highway. So looking forward to that. Never know what we may do, right? But if you follow that website, CarolinaFreshFarms.com, there is a lot of really good information there, Scott, of how to maintain what you have, how to make a selection of what you may want to do within your lawn from a lawn perspective, from grasses. Because we are a sod grower. Sometimes we don't say it enough. We farm over 2,000 acres in production in sod between two different farm locations. Now, one of those farm locations, New Life Turf, is really geared and designed more for the golf industry. So that's more of a direct sales to golf and a support farm for the local golf courses who buy from the local stores, so that we have different varieties, grasses, not really different varieties, but maybe maintained and grown and cultured in a little different way that's suitable for a golf course or more suitable for a golf course. Not that the varieties at Carolina Fresh or the production there is not suitable for golf courses. A lot of that grass goes there, but golf courses may have different needs, like greens quality sod, something mowed at a lower height, tee box sod mowed at a half inch height. And being a smaller farm, New Life Turf, it's just easier to micromanage that for in the production realm of things. For that industry, whereas Carolina Fresh grows the exact same varieties, but they are groomed and maintained more for the commercial industrial landscape and the homeowner side of things. And a little bit more variety at Carolina Fresh, and adding to it every day. So if we have time today, perhaps we'll get into a couple of those new varieties that by the end of the summer should be online in some limited quantities and available for the homeowners. That are really just fantastic varieties. A new variety of Zoysia and a new variety of St. Augustine. But I digress. This show is about the participant, correct?
Correct.
Not the listener. It's one thing to sit there and just listen, eavesdrop on our conversation today. It's about you, the participant, who's out there. So you've got to interact with us. That's what makes it fun. That's what makes the time fly by. That's what makes it pertinent today about what's going on across the state of South Carolina within your lawn and landscape, whether it's your grass, whether it is your landscape shrubbery, to your vegetable garden. We want to discuss it. We want to talk about it. We want to hear about the good things, the bad things, all that good stuff. And it's easy to do. You can give us a phone call at 1-800-347-1063. That is 1-800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. That's 71307 for the text line. We would love to hear from you, love to talk with you. Scott, I say we get to it. What's going on?
Vacation. I don't know.
Vacation. Yeah. Whatever. You're just trying to pull on everybody's heartstrings. Oh, I'm on vacation, but Mills made me come do the show.
That's right.
Yeah.
I can still be sleeping right now.
Yeah, no, you could.
I know, I wouldn't be. But what you got?
What have I got? Oh, I've got it.
Oh, looky there.
I got the drought report. I got the drought report, folks. As reported, July the 17th, 2018, just a few days ago, because as we know, this is released on Thursday. They take the readings on Tuesday, compile all the information, they release it on Thursday, okay? So as of the readings on Tuesday, Scott, somebody's been painting on our clear outline of every county within the state. There are some counties now that have yellow.
That's yellow.
Yellow, which indicates D0, which I know it's weird, folks, it is the first stage of drought, okay? D0, abnormally dry. We now have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, almost 14 counties in the state. 23% of our state is now experiencing abnormally dry first stages of drought. So that has grown a little bit since last week.
Nothing in the upstate.
Nothing in the upstate. So it's kind of a path or a swath down through Columbia, starting up around Pageland, South Carolina, which I spent a few days in this week.
You did.
Had a little rain up there, not much. Day or two before we got there. Had a little thunderstorm overnight, doing a sprig job on some greens. But there's a swath there in the Midlands from coming out of Charlotte all the way down, kind of swings down through the Columbia area, just a little south towards
Aiken. What is
that?
Is that Lexington? All of Lexington County.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And then, of course, that little extreme Horry County, Georgetown, that area of the coast of South Carolina experiencing some droughty conditions at this point. So it's beginning to dry out in certain parts of the state, but a lot of us and a lot of our listenership is still having overcast, cloudy, cooler weather. Sounds great until you're trying to grow something, right? So anybody who's trying to establish a sodded lawn, a seeded lawn, a sprigged golf green or fairway, anybody who's trying to establish something right now, you're losing some growing days. And we're on the backside of summer. So, you know, hey, you better work fast and hard to try to get some things grown off before the end of the summer, because who knows what winter will bring. Boy, I hope it doesn't bring the weather it brought last year.
I could take a break from that.
Could you?
I could. I'm not a big cold guy.
Oh, I love cold, snowy, wet, sleety weather.
You like that because you don't have to go to work. You get to stay at the house then.
No, I like to get out in it.
Oh, go play in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still a kid at heart, man.
I know. I can see you and Graham doing that.
Yeah, I'm still a kid at heart, so, you know. So, folks, we're going to go to the phone lines. We have a few folks who have found us at 1-800-347-1063. The text line is open at 71307 as well. Let's go to the phones. What do you say, Scott?
Let's do it.
We have Glenn in Lawrence, not far from my hometown of Clinton. Hello, Glenn, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hey, now, is this Steve or the other guy? I can't remember your name, and I apologize.
This is Mills.
Mills.
Yes, sir.
All right. I actually live down in Wentmore. I got a problem with pond growth of willows. And you try to pull them out, and you got, like, all kind of roots and all that. What would be the best way to get the willows out of my pond?
All right. So there's a couple ways. One that I can think of, and you have to read the label first and foremost, but one of the herbicides that is extremely safe on aquaculture and in waterways is an active ingredient that sometimes we don't like to say on the air because we get a lot of text and some phone calls about it, is glyphosate, which is Roundup. There are certain formulations of Roundup which are labeled for direct application around waterways and to waterways to control weeds.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So do a little bit of research on that, and you will find it is an extremely safe product. It is extremely safe to our aquaculture. So something like a willow, what you could do is go in and direct apply it just to the leaves. They do make, I think diquat is actually is labeled as well.
Then Seafoam Company has a lot of that product also. Seafoam, like the Cutlass?
C-Pro.
C-Pro, I'm sorry.
C-Pro. C-Pro is a company out there that makes a lot of stuff to use around pond edges, creek edges, things of that nature. Diquat, if you're going to overspray, is probably your safest. It was traded for a number of years under the name of Reward. And you may have to chase it a little bit with the diquat, but it will work.
Okay. And the C-Pro, I should be able to remember from Wentmire, and we do have a boat plant down there.
There you go.
All right.
That is right, man. So you're holding the fort. You know, I do believe, Glenn, you were the first caller ever from the great metropolitan area of Wentmire, which I have traveled through about six times here recently, headed to Pageland. Living in Greenville, you know, I have to go the old Clinton route and drive through Wentmire, correct?
You can go that way, or you could have went through Union. But
I kind of like going through Wentmire, because if I go through Wentmire, I get to go through Carlisle, right?
Yes, and they actually got some good roads over in Carlisle right now. I can't say much about the ones in Wentmire.
I will attest to that.
it's also a good place to come hunting for people from the upstate. But
it is.
And see, earlier, and I do listen to y'all quite regularly where I work, but you know, earlier this spring I was having problems with possible, you know, some fungus growth in my grass. And I kept watching. I thought I was going to have to get some fungicide, and it actually went away. And hopefully it stays away. But
hopefully it does. Yeah. But, you know, that's a topic I want to get into a little bit more as we go through this morning. With these overcast, cloudy days, the fungus, to a degree, like fescue on my lawn, the brown patch had disappeared for a few days, but I'm afraid it's going to come right back for another cycle with all the heat and humidity that we're expecting this week. I mean, I think they're forecasting a better than 40 to 50% chance of rain for nearly everyone in this listenership for the next 5 to 7 days. That includes you, which I know y'all could use a little bit of rain down that way.
Well, it's just little, my ponds are still staying up pretty good. So this year it's been quite well. Last year I was down about 2 feet.
Gotcha. So go check out the product reward if you want to just overspray and be safe with it. Like I said, you may have to go out there and do a second or application. But that product's really good on water lilies, things that kind of grow in the edge of the pond and on the water surface.
All right. I do appreciate it. Y'all have a wonderful weekend.
You do the same. Thanks. Good talking with you, Glenn. Scott, you know, and just to reiterate, C-Pro is one of the manufacturers. We do some business and buy some of their products. I see you over there chuckling.
I was thinking C-Pro. I was thinking fuel stabilizer.
Oh, yeah, C-Foam. No, C-Pro, S-E-A-P-R-O. C-Pro, they do a lot of business in the aquaculture side of things, about water quality, really great products. So if you live in a rural area, you have a pond, if you're looking for better water quality, how to control algae, how to control aquatic weeds, that is a good resource, believe it or not. Their products are not necessarily available. I mean, it's a larger manufacturing company. They're not available for direct sale. But you could certainly, anybody can reach out to one of the Carolina Fresh Farm stores and say, hey, what do you know about this product? I was doing some research. What would it cost me? Here's what we do need to know. How much of area do you need to cover? And C-Pro's got some stuff on the website that I believe will teach you how to figure out the surface area of your pond or the volume, because a lot of these products are also deal with the volume of water, how much water, especially when you get into some of the dyes, some of the UV inhibitors that will help you with weed growth within your pond. You need to know the volume of water so you know how much product to put in. So it's no different than applying to a lawn or to a shrub bed. Everything's calibrated and everything has a rate. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Scott, it's another town that I drove through this week, the great city of Campobello. We have Jeff. Hello, Jeff, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Morning, gentlemen. How are we?
I tell you what, see, I got to go through Whitmire, and I also went through Campobello 2 times in the last 7 days, if you can believe it or not, Jeff. So I've been all over this state, haven't I?
Hey, sounds like it.
So what can we help you with?
All right, I'm building a new home, actually down in Lawrence again. We just cleared everything off, and it's kind of a more sandy, granular soil down that way. First off, get the soil tested. I'm going to see my buddy over here in Greer, Ryan, at the Carolina Fresh Farm store there. We get the soil sampled, and being midsummer, it's going to be hard to get grass to come in good before winter, I'm thinking. Our growing season, plant season, is really not the best right now. I've spoke to a few people, and they've recommended a fescue to go out now to grow faster, cover, to help with the wash-off, and then go back maybe spring and late fall to plant the Bermuda to overseed it. And they say that it should take over and actually fill in and more or less push the fescue out. Gentlemen recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, you are. We're on the backside of summer, and if you want a Bermuda lawn, it's getting fairly late to try to get Bermuda to fill in 100%. I think what I would judge is how much slope do I have to the lawn? Is it fairly flat? Is it severely sloped? The more we increase slope, my concern would be if you don't get it grown in, as we go through the winter months, you're going to get a lot of finger veining. Those areas that are exposed, where the soil's exposed, you're going to get a lot of veining, a lot of runoff, of water, and you're going to see some potential wash. I don't think you'll see a bunch of gullies develop, but you are going to see some finger veining, which long-term can be corrected, but it is going to make a little bit of unevenness to the lawn. But if you're on fairly flat ground, you may still have time if you go out now. I mean, don't delay this any more days than you have to. If you go out, put the Bermuda seed out, that'll be great. But if it's going to be a few more weeks until they complete the home to where you can really get in there, seed the lawn, then I would either go fescue. But the other option that I think would be better than fescue, because we're talking about a temporary lawn, would probably be perennial ryegrass, I think, would be a better option for you, because we know that the heat of the summer. You said you're building this home in Lawrence?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we know in that Lawrence area, with the heat of the summer, that the majority, if not all of that perennial ryegrass, especially out in the open, exposed in the sunlight, is not going to survive the summer, whereas the fescue will. And the old mindset that, hey, the Bermuda's going to outgrow and choke out my fescue is just not true. I mean, they're going to cohabitate, so then you're going to be faced with, all right, I'm going to try to establish Bermuda, but I've got this fescue still in it, and how do I eradicate that? There are herbicides out there which you can, but our goal is to get you where you're not out there trying to maintain weeds while you're trying to grow, because at this point the fescue becomes a weed. It's growing out of place. Right. We don't want you worried about maintaining or controlling weeds when you've got to worry about establishing lawns. Now, another option is in the spring of the year, sometime maybe 1st of May, you can go in and do one spray wall to wall with something as simple as a non-generic like Roundup. You can toast the fescue or the perennial ryegrass that is there, wait a couple of days, mow it down, clean it up a bit where you can get the Bermuda seed to drop. Even though that grass is dead, that temporary grass is dead at this point, it's very fibrous, and those roots will still help stabilize that lawn until the Bermuda can take over. And once it does and the Bermuda begins to grow by June, July, and August, you'll have far fewer fescue or perennial ryegrass plants that you have to deal with on the backside. I think that's a better option.
Okay. That sounds good. I've never tried to grow a lawn before. I've always read. It's going to be something entertaining to take on.
I tell folks, establishing grass is not rocket science. Don't overthink it. But the thing you have to understand, whether it's now and you're doing a cool season as a temporary lawn, it is identical to what we need to do with Bermuda seed in the spring and summer months, is we have to maintain consistent moisture on that surface down to about 1 inch. If we maintain that consistent moisture, then we have consistent moisture on the seed and seed bed, we're going to get uniform germination. And the key is to have uniform germination. The more uniform that seed germinates, if we can get one seed growing every square inch, then we know you're going to get that Bermuda lawn grown in fairly quickly. Whereas if we have one seed growing every square foot, it's going to take us 12 times longer to get that growing.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate your help.
Thank you, sir. You have a great weekend.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Scott, phone lines, man, they are lit up today. Right?
They are.
They are absolutely lit up. We're going to stay with them. But in the meantime, if you'd like to give us a text, feel free at 71307. It'd be nice to have a text come in today. We're going to go to Bob in Greer, who has a question about a lawn fungus. Hello, Bob, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hey, Mills. Good to talk to you again.
You as well.
This is my third call this season on lawn fungus, and I've gotten good information from you. I followed your directions, and it appears that by continuing to put down every 21 days the Headway product, what I had which looked really bad to begin with back in May has really turned around and looks pretty good. But I just heard your comments about the weather that we're going to have this week, and it looks like for the next 2 weeks it looks like a projection of a lot of rain.
You had to bring that up, didn't you, Bob?
Yeah. Well, I want to keep it the way it looks right now, and I'm scheduled for my next 21 days next Saturday to put Headway down again. What rate should I put it down as at if we're going to have this kind of weather?
The same full rate that you have been doing. You know, and I only hope that this is the last application, because I think you and I are in the same boat that a lot of folks are in this year. Typically, most years we use two applications of fungicide, and we're pretty protected on a cool season lawn during the summer. This year, with the amount of rain and the humidity and the cloudy days, the disease pressure is there. And, you know, this is the year that we have to do three applications. So, yes, it cost us some money, but, you know, you've already invested X amount into it at this point. Things are looking a little better. So I would hate to see you go backwards at this point to wrap up the summer. So I would go ahead and do one more. I think one more, hopefully. And I'm hoping for the same thing, Bob, that it kind of puts it to bed for the rest of the season, and we can get into September with really cooler temperatures and fall-like weather and sling some fertilizer and not have to put the fungus season behind us, is what we hope.
Okay, and is there any particular time is bad or good to put it down, before rain, after rain, during rain, whatever?
I say about any time, Scott. What's your thoughts?
I would say the same thing.
You know?
Before rain would be sweet.
Yeah, I mean, we say before rain, not before a 3-inch thunderstorm, but rain like we're having, today for the rest of the afternoon. If I had a bag of fungicide sitting there, I'd probably go out and sling it and get it on the lawn. As a matter of fact, I wish I had a bag of fungicide, because I'm about 3 weeks in, if I can get out of the studio, maybe you'll bump into me up there at the Duncan location, picking up a bag of Headway or a Pillar. Now, you've done two applications of Headway, correct?
Three.
So you've already done three.
Well, excuse me, the third is coming up.
The third is coming up. If you want to, you may want to switch to and really think about maybe switching to the product called Pillar, so we get a little rotation in there.
Okay, super. So, all right, thanks for the good advice again. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob. You have a great weekend.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Scott? Oh, good. I'm looking at the time. I hear the bumper music. Kind of freaks me out. We're down to a minute and a half. I don't really know if we have time for Ron. I know who Ron is. And Fran, a repeat caller. I hate to leave him on the hold for the bottom of the hour, but I feel like we should. What do you say?
Yes.
I just don't know if I could get to Fran. I tell you what. Let's do this. Let's try Fran, because take him the order they came. Fran?
Yeah, I'm here.
We don't have time. Can you hold on to the bottom of the hour when we come back, and we'll get to you.
I was just going to give...
Sorry, Fran. Apparently, the clock's not matching up, folks. We have to take our bottom of the hour break. Tune into the Yard Pro. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And it is a delight to be here, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. You can find us during the week, folks. It's pretty simple. At www.carolinafreshfarms.com, there you will find a link to a multitude of information, the most important being the location of our retail locations, as well as an email. I think the most important thing is our email address, so that when you have issues during the week and we're not on the air, we're not live, and you can't get in touch with us, it's a great way to send a picture, to send a comment, to send some information, and let us help you decipher some of the issues that you're having in your lawn. Scott, at the bottom of the hour, we got a little confused there. As normal, you know, me and electronics and technology, I get
buttons.
A little confused. And buttons. I love buttons.
Don't ever get on the elevator with them.
Yeah, I do love buttons. They're fun. And if you got a new car, I would love to take a test ride with you, because I love to push buttons. I don't know. Something crazy. But anyway, we had Fran and Ron on hold. We're going to go back to Fran. Hello, Fran, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Yeah, you put a noise on there a while back, and you wanted somebody to tell you what it was, and I think it was somebody using a handsaw.
Okay. I'm not sure what that noise was, so was it today's show?
Yeah, it was today's show, and you kind of made a big deal about you wanted somebody to call in and guess what the sound was. But I guess you don't know what you put on there.
I guess I don't, so I apologize, Fran.
Have a good day.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye. I'm not real sure there, Scott.
No.
So, All right, so we're going to stay with the phone lines. We've had Ron waiting patiently out of Greer, our good friend Ron. Hello, Ron, and welcome to the Yard Pros.
Hey, gentlemen, just a quick question on, now that you brought up that fungus stuff, I got a class question on that, too, if that's all right. But I got a big old one of those trees with them big ball things that drop. They look like spikes. Sweet gum.
Yes.
Or whatever they call that.
Yeah.
But it's big and it's got ivy growing up it. Is that going to mess it up, or should I like cut it off at the roots so the ivy doesn't grow on it? This thing's about 60 feet in the air.
Oh, I would definitely cut the ivy.
What's that?
Cut the ivy.
Cut the ivy?
Yes.
Okay. Now, as far as this other stuff with the fungus control, mold control, whatever you call it, I think I'm about ready to put down a second deal. That's what, every 3 to 4 weeks?
Yes, depending on weather. I mean, sometimes you can stretch it out to 3 weeks, but quite honestly, yeah, I mean 4 weeks. But right now with the amount of cloud cover, the rain that we're receiving, I would probably go about every 3 weeks.
Okay, so I ought to get on that once I hang up the phone after I'm done listening to you. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Sounds good, Ron, and we expect to see you at the Duncan store here very shortly, right?
Yes, sir, all the time. The Duncan store is the best. They got some great people there. You got to go in there, get the job done, and everything's going to be real, real fun. See y'all later.
Thank you, Ron. Have a great weekend. You know, I keep hearing people speak of, like we had a caller earlier, spoke of this guy named Ryan.
I don't know who that is.
I have not. I mean, we used to have a Ryan, right? Years ago? Not real sure. Sure, Ryan's tuning in right now, yeah. Right? We'll get a text here in a second, folks. We're going to stay. You are listening to the Yard Pro Show. Very quickly, I do want to acknowledge this because I know people are sending texts and they may be riding down the road. I hope they're not driving and texting, but you never know, right? But I do want to say that Tony, Tony from Gilbert, sent a text in and said, how late can I put out Bermuda sod? One pallet has been out for about 8 weeks. Maybe want to do three pallets now and a few more pallets in the spring. You know, keep tuning in and not to just kind of drag you out, but because I do have someone on call. But what I will say, you can install warm season grasses at any time of the year, but there are preferred times to install warm season grasses. So Bermuda, Zoysia, Centipede, St. Augustine, I think it's a very good question. If you're going to install some sod or have a need to do some repairs and install some sod, you need to wrap that up here in the next couple, 3 weeks so we have time to get it well rooted by the end of summer going into fall winter dormancy. That's going to lessen the amount of problems that you may have in the winter. But if you're in a catch-22, we had a caller earlier in the show, first half, who's building a new home, and if they decided to sod and the home's not done until October, you've got to do something to cover up the dirt, right, Scott?
Mm-hmm.
And you can go ahead and install sod, but you are going to have an increased risk of some winter injury. Now, the key with that is you install sod, and we talk a lot about this in the fall and through the winter. If you do install sod and you're forced to install dormant sod, you need to make sure you keep it wet. That's the number one key to having less winter damage is keeping the sod hydrated because most of our winter damage comes from desiccation. It's amazing. I'm still talking about winter damage this week at a small golf club up in Chesney and looking at winter injury growing back in. At a golf club yesterday, talking with the superintendent about winter injury just now growing in. So winter was tough, and it may be tough again. Scott, I digress. I think we need to stay with the phone lines. Joe has found us at 1-800-347-1063. So, Joe, let's go to Joe. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Hello, Joe, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Thank you. How are you this morning?
I am outstanding.
Good. I was wanting to ask some questions about wetting agents. My program recommends me using a wetting agent on my Bermuda grass. So I went to the store the other day, and for 40 pounds of it is like close to $100, $94 or so. And my logic is that, golly, I sure can buy an awful lot of water for $94. What is this stuff really going to do for me?
A wetting agent, and depending, I don't know, what product did you purchase? Do you know?
Well, I actually didn't purchase it. I'm kind of buying time on that. I'm not sure.
What do you know? What product it was? Because there are all types of wetting agents out there.
I do not. It's some type of. I think they said it was a surfactant.
Okay. And the reason I ask, Scott, you know, let's shed a little bit of light on a wedding agent. I don't know, do we inventory, was it at one of our locations or another store? Joe?
I'm sorry?
Was it at one of our locations or another store?
No, this was one of your competitors, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. Because what I was going to say, I know the wedding agent we normally inventory in granular is on a corn cob, and it's probably, how much is it, Scott? Like
$40?
$40, $50. And wedding agents, what they do, as soils begin to dry, Joe, and this can happen on sandy soils, it can happen on clay soils, they have a certain amount of organic content in them. As that organic, think about peat moss, as organics dry out, and you think about peat moss that you get from the garden center, and it's really, really kind of light, but it's really, really compressed. Have you ever seen it where you can just throw it in a 5-gallon bucket and it'll float for 2 weeks before it will absorb moisture? So what happens is that particle on a cellular level, so it repels water, will not allow that structure to absorb moisture. So soil wedges, in essence, they break that surface tension in the soil. So they allow the soils to retain more moisture. Or soil wetting agents can also, like a surfactant soil wetting agent, I don't know the product, but I would speculate that's more of a penetrant that will flush the water through the soils, which is not a bad thing either, because when we get into a heavy rain period, that can help draw the water through the soil profile to keep it from sitting. So there are a lot of different types of soil wetting agents. I know we have a product that's a hose and sprayer product that you can go out and spray, and I think it's, what, like $24.95, cover 5,000 square feet, and you can apply that, and it allows the soil to reach its full capacity without the water running off as quickly. So if you're not having water run off due to, you know, if it got really dry and you irrigate and you see the water running off or puddling up, a soil wetting agent can be useful. If you're not having that issue, I mean, this year in Greer, which is where you're calling from, yeah, they can be beneficial, but I don't know if it's that crucial, to be honest with you.
Right. I, you know, that the one that they I looked at was pretty expensive, you know.
Yeah.
Considering, as I say, you know, it's I can run that sprinkler a lot, but that makes sense. So it.
Yeah, and it is
readily absorb the water.
Yes, they are very beneficial, especially if you get what I call localized dry spots. And you know, last year I was talking about it a lot, but this year I haven't had to because heck, we're in such better shape as far as drought in this state. You know, a year ago, we didn't have as much drought because we'd had a big rain event from week to week. But as a whole, a year ago, much more of the state was under drought conditions. So it just hadn't been as big a topic this year, but it's a great question. Hopefully that helps you understand a little bit more what they are. And I will tell you, the price of these soil wetting agents is determined by how effective they are and the spread rate that's in the bag. You know, that might be a bag of product that spreads twice as much as what our bag spreads. I'm just not sure. But if you need something that's a little more reasonably priced and you want to try it, I would suggest you give the folks out at our Duncan location a call and talk with them.
Sounds like there's certainly alternatives to what I had looked at your competitor store there.
I wanted to ask
one more question about liriope. Can it be divided and transplanted at this time of year?
Sure. I mean, that stuff is tough as nails, so I would go after it. And I think you got time to do that, get the plant healthy before we go into winter. So if you want to dig it up and divide it, go after it.
Okay, great. That sounds great.
All right.
Certainly do appreciate your help.
Thank you, Joe. Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye. You know, great question. I did get a quick text before we go back to the phone lines. Miss Fran had called in about the noise, and apparently she was listening to another show before ours on another radio station.
Okay.
And they had asked a question because I was really sitting here, Scott, beginning to wonder
50's kicking
what
in.
Was going on with you and I. I'm not 50 yet. You might be.
It's like I'm going
not,
to the hospital.
But I'm like, man, something's going on because I don't remember asking what is this noise. So, but that is neat. Maybe we should start doing that.
It's not a bad idea.
Put a different soundbite of a landscape noise every week. Let you guess it. Just for fun, though. I'm not going to keep up with all this ciphering. Who could figure it out? Just for fun. Good idea, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we'll get our producer right on that. I'm sure she's excited to do that.
She is.
So we're going to stay with the phone lines. We have, I can't remember which one came in first. I have two on hold. We're going in order down the line. Let's go to Keith and Greer. How about that? Hello, Keith, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Got an erosion problem where I've got water coming down the drive, especially with these downpours we've had lately. It's a very shaded area. It's actually washed down to the point that I'm seeing roots from the trees. Is the best option is to take some soil and sort of smooth up over the roots and then use fescue sod, because I don't think I've got, you know, a chance to seed the fescue because I think it'll wash again. Just wanted some input.
Yeah, that to me, that's a great option. My only concern with that, Keith, is right now I don't know. I mean, yes, we could probably get a pallet of fescue sod to you to do that. I don't like selling fescue this time of the year because I know you're going to be moderately successful, if that, at establishing that fescue sod. Now, it's going to stop your erosion, but I know that you're going to have a lot of that fescue sod because we have to keep it excessively wet to get it to root because of heat and it's summer. I know that you're going to have some issues long-term with that fescue sod. Now, with that said, I think you have a couple of options. You can either try to figure out how to put a drain, what we call a drain sock, in along the edge of that driveway that will help slow that water down before it hits the ground and continues to run, and slow it down for about a month and a half, 2 months, live with a drain sock, and then fix this in the fall. And the best way to fix it is what you said, put some dirt back in, tamp it with a hand tamper. You know, don't go crazy. Don't go get your 200-pound, 17-and-a-half-year-old son like I have, teenager, and let him go to town on it. But tamp it nice so that it firms it up, and then you can sod or seed over the top. And if you want to sod it, that's fine. I just don't want you to have the expectation that it's going to be 100% perfect sodding in July with fescue or the 1st of August. You're going to run into some long-term issues. The good thing is you can put the sod down now, stop some erosion, or at least help control it, and then you can reseed it in the fall if you want to do that. So you got a few options, but if you can figure out a way to slow that water down and live with it for a month, month and a half, I think you'd be better off till we get to September.
Okay. Well, I knew fescue was going to be hard this time of year, but
it is.
I didn't think anything in shade that was going to be the best option for the shade part.
For you, it looks like you're calling out of the Greer area, the upstate, for shaded, if it's really that densely shaded. Is the rest of the lawn fescue?
Fescue and Bermuda mixed.
Yeah. And if the Bermuda's not growing in that shaded area, it tells me that you're not going to get Bermuda to grow in that shaded area. You may get Zoysia to grow there, but do you want to introduce a third variety of grass into the lawn? So if you want to go the fescue route, you could do it now. Just, one, be patient with us harvesting the fescue and getting it to you. And secondly, just know that you are going to have some issues with that fescue sod. It's going to mat down, lay down on you, and probably have some disease and not be absolutely gorgeous. Come September, you're going to have to nurse it back to health and probably do some seeding.
Well, would Zoysia work in the shade?
It depends on how much shade, but Zoysia can be an alternative for you.
Okay, well, it's a big maple, old established maple tree.
Yeah.
It's got a big canopy because it's a pretty shaded area.
Yeah.
There's some, but not a lot.
I would, if that's the case, I'd probably maybe think along the routes of the fescue, something along that nature.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank
you. You have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Scott, we're going to stay with the phone lines. We have Marty in Easley. Hello, Marty, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Well, good morning, guys. I've got a question for you. I'm much more of a do-it-for-me guy just because of my work schedule. So I've got a guy that mows my grass, and I've got another guy that comes through and fertilizes and does chemicals and that kind of stuff. And so the chemical guy last year once, and as well this year, has told me after a fertilization that I've got dollar spot fungus. And I see brown stuff in the yard, but the places that it looks like I've got brown is where the mowing guy cuts it too close and is, you know, cutting the bloom off of the Bermuda. Can you help me understand dollar spot a little bit?
Yeah, if you want to try to figure out how to identify it, what's neat about dollar spot, and Scott and I were talking before the show that dollar spot is really been running rampant all summer, and a lot of it's because of moisture. I mean, I sound like a broken record. I mean, we keep talking about the same weather environment. Dollar spot is really neat. So we see this disease, and the reason I call it dollar spot, it begins about the size of a silver dollar. It's almost perfect round brown spots. By the time you see it, they're brown, okay? If you go out early in the morning when there's a nice dew on, maybe tomorrow morning, okay, you may see what looks like round spider webs from a distance, kind of glistening in your lawn, especially if we get a little sunlight. They really show up good because the dew will hang on these so-called spider webs a little bit longer than it does on the grass blades, and it's really pronounced kind of later in the morning as the dew begins to burn off. Everybody thinks it's spider webs, and we get calls from time to time, hey, I got spiders in my yard. What do I do about them? No, they're not spiders. I see it a lot on Bermuda, especially Bermuda that's mowed maybe an inch and a half or lower. It's really easy to pick out on half-inch fairways. You see this mycelium. So it's the fruiting body of the fungus of dollar spot is what that is. It's not a spider web. It's the actual fruiting body of how the disease spreads and how it grows. If you're seeing those spider web-looking things with dew on them in the morning, yes, that's dollar spot. That helps you pick up on it earlier. So two things with dollar spot. Number one, the old school idea, and this is proven, it's true science. When the fertility is a little bit lower than it should be, we see dollar spot become a bigger issue, okay? So one thing we can do is make sure that I know you're not a do-it-yourselfer, you have people doing it for you, but you need to really hone in, are they putting enough fertilizer out and keeping enough fertility to the lawn? Because that can help lessen the amount of dollar spot. But I've also noticed over a number of years that dollar spot, once you seem to get infected, the old school idea, because they know it was related to fertility, is, oh, if you fertilize it, we can grow it out or it'll disappear. It doesn't really disappear. It's just the fact that the Bermuda's growing more aggressively. It can grow faster and repair quicker than dollar spot can cause damage. So my thoughts are, though, if you get it and you have it, you probably need to think about applying a fungicide. Something simple, iprodomate, like Eagle, something like that would work great. You don't have to pull out the stops and buy a $100 bag of Headway necessarily. Now, it is better. It'll give you more long-term control. But Banner Max is one of the components in Headway. It's really good. Eagle's pretty good at dollar spot, which is, what, two-thirds the cost of Headway or a Pillar. But any of those products will work pretty good on dollar spot. I do feel like if you can spray those areas and you mix up some Banner Max or Eagle, that you'll get quicker control with the spray with dollar spot because it is a leaf spot disease. So we've got to get the fungicide to sit on the leaf and the systemic, it gets into the leaf and it gives you a little more protection, a little quicker.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, that makes sense. So you kind of get a 1-2 approach, hit it with the fungicide to knock it back and then fertilize and grow over
yes.
it.
I really think that is your best option to really put a stop to it.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, Marty.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. You know, I love these participants at the Yard Pro Show because it makes it easy. We never have to really delve deep for what's going on, what's pertinent, because nearly every week our participants, whether they're texters, whether they're callers, live on the air, Scott, they bring up the topics that you and I think need to be discussed, like dollar spot. It is running rampant. And if you have it, I think you probably ought to just treat it, in addition to fertilization. I think if you just fertilize and wait, it's going to keep aggravating you for a while. So, Scott, I know we have time for one last call, and we're going to go to it. It is Lucy in Greenville has a great question about an ornamental plant. Hello, Lucy, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning, gentlemen. Y'all are phenomenal. When you talked about what I call monkey grass being divided, I have these gorgeous hostas. When and how do I divide those, and is it possible?
It is possible to divide hostas, and you should be right past bloom right now, correct?
Right, yes.
So if we're past bloom at this point and you want to do it, I personally would dig up that entire plant. We're going to have rain and overcast conditions the next few days. This is where rain and overcast conditions help us, Lucy, because we're not real droughty. I think with the next 7 to 10 to 14-day forecast, if you've got the time and you want to get up early one morning, dig that plant up, and then you can take it, look at it, kind of pull it apart. It'll pull apart, Scott, wouldn't you agree,
mm-hmm.
kind of where it naturally wants to break. I would go ahead and do it now because we have some time left that you can plant them. You got to keep them wet, and you'll be able to get some good root establishment and make that hosta happy and healthy before we get into dormancy when it begins to die back. So if you want to do it, I'd probably go ahead and do it now.
Okay, and if I want to divide it, can I put some in a container so I can share with some family members?
Most definitely. So you can take that part of the hosta. I got to dig back into my horticultural knowledge. I believe it's a tuberous or type of tuber that you'll find in the ground. You can take
right.
that, divide it, plant it into an old 1 gallon pot with some clean
right.
potting soil, and
yeah.
and pack them down, let them grow for a few weeks, and they should start rooting pretty quickly in that potting soil, and share them with your friends and your neighbors and your family.
Great and if would I let it go dormant in the pot?
You
and
can.
Then put it out in the spring?
Either way, I think it'll be fine. All right?
All right. Y'all are fantastic. Have a great rest of your week.
You do the same. Thank you, Lucy.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Great way to end the show from
it was.
A longtime listener and participant, Lucy. So we appreciate the call, Lucy. And you know what? Sharing your plants, it's a great idea. Sharing your tomatoes is a pretty good idea.
A pretty good idea.
Right? I like my tomatoes. What can I say? Folks, we appreciate you tuning in to the Yard Pros Show today, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I do want to remind you that the Columbia location is going to continue their 25% off plant sale. So if you want to get in touch with Susie, she's got a great sale on plants and love to see you. Folks, stay tuned to the next broadcast, and we appreciate you listening today. Have a happy week gardening.